Nights with Laura on Hope 103.2, and we're starting a bit of a new segment called The Forum, which really is just going to be a place to talk about some current issues, stuff going on in the world. And Wendy Gilbert is joining us tonight from the Yaya Revolution, the Youth and Young Adults Revolution, to talk about a topic that you've probably heard in the news a lot recently, the idea of being wrongly accused. Wendy, welcome.
Hi, Laura.
Thanks for joining us tonight. So we're talking about being wrongly accused because a couple of weeks ago now, it was Lindy Chamberlain who, "The Dingo Ate My Baby" is basically the key line of her whole saga. Finally, she's been acquitted of all of that and it has been decided what she said was right. The dingo actually did eat her baby. So we wanted to talk tonight about, in particular, teenagers when you're wrongly accused, how you actually deal with that. So Wendy's going to share with us some thoughts. Let's kick it off. So what do you actually do if you are wrongly accused?
Well, I think we're going to look at from a teenager's perspective mostly tonight. I think that it's very difficult, particularly for teenagers, because people often assume the worst rather than the best of them. You know, the classic saying, you know, typical teenager, people sum them up and see them in a negative light. So it's often very difficult for them for that reason. But also it's difficult because they're often in a scenario where it's someone that's in authority, a teacher, a parent, a boss. And if they're wrongly accused, it's very hard to stand up and speak your mind without appearing to be oppositional or anti-authority. So it's quite a tricky scenario for them.
Especially that idea of you being back-talked to. Like, teachers don't like it if someone, generally, like, not all teachers necessarily, but I know at least the ones I had, it was very, like, not good to kind of question the teacher or what they were kind of saying to you, I suppose.
Absolutely, and because, you know, some kids' motives aren't good and they do stand up to teachers in a wrong way, but then that makes it very tricky for the kids who are wanting to do the right thing and need to communicate.
So what do you think maybe some of the key ideas around communication as a teenager to someone older than you, especially in authority? What are some of the ways you can navigate that situation if you are being wrongly accused about something? Something as simple as you didn't hand your assignment in on time or that you cheated on it, something little like that to something more big, like something in the playground or something.
I think really your reaction initially is important. So, you know, the Bible talks about a gentle answer turns away wrath. So if you react and you're angry and aggressive towards the teacher naturally because they're human beings, they're going to shrink back and or again feel aggressive towards you. But I think, you know, how you respond is really important, that you're gentle and you just step through gradually and say, well, from my perspective, this is what happened. Or you could say, look, can we just go and talk? I feel that maybe something has not been right. And so that then you can talk through the issues in a calm way. And a teacher, I work in a high school. I know that from a teacher's perspective, that when someone calmly talks through issues, you're much more willing to listen and hear their perspective.
Do you think there's a way that you can sort of set yourself up to be less likely to be wrongly accused of things?
Oh, definitely. I think reputation is really important, that we establish a reputation of trust as adults or as teenagers over a period of time. It's like our character shows through. And the teenagers that do have an established positive reputation will find it much easier to stand up for the things that they're falsely accused of. Now, that can be very difficult for a teenager that has got a bad reputation and has been accused of something they haven't done. That's another scenario altogether. I think a positive reputation is a thing that happens day after day after day. In the world that they face now with social media, it's so important what they put on their Facebooks. You know, one little photo can mean nothing. They can have a drink in their hand but not actually even be drinking it. They've just got to be really careful what their reputation shows on Facebook, the pictures, the things they say, reputation at school, how they speak to teachers, do they hand their assignments in on time, do they treat other students with respect. All those things matter over a period of time. Now, that's for a kid who's got a good reputation already, but the kid who hasn't may need to re-establish a reputation. So they may need to, at firstly at home, say, mum and dad, I had a scenario in recent weeks where a student said, look, I really know I haven't done the right thing and I want to try better. Mm. And I sort of suggested, why don't you go and communicate to your parents, look, I really want to start doing the right thing. Can you help me I know I haven't done the right thing, maybe apologize, I'm really sorry I haven't done the right thing. And you could do the same thing with a teacher and say, can you just cut me a bit of slack? I'm going to really try and establish a better reputation and a better character. And it is possible to turn it around, but the teenager needs to understand that it's going to take a little bit of time for people to again believe and show that you are trustworthy. Say for a scenario in a family situation, if they've been lying to mum and dad, it's going to take mum and dad a bit of time to believe the truth. So both ways, it needs to be a bit of understanding.
And I think you also, I guess, have to honour the moments where they do cut you some slack or when they do give you that trust, because if you're asking for it and then you turn it on its head and do the wrong thing straight after, that makes it doubly as hard for them to trust you and help you along the way when you're asking for one of those moments again.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're all the same in relationships, aren't we? You know, relationships are built on trust. So, it's much harder if it's happened a second time. So your character over time is so important.
And as you were saying earlier with the whole social media aspect, there's kind of two things in there as well, because there's your own profile, there's the stuff you put up, which obviously you have the ultimate control over, but then there's also what your friends are putting up and what you're putting on friends' pages. So you kind of have to be cautious of what you're saying and realize that the internet and your profile, that's permanent to a degree. But then also, if you're posting things on another person's page or putting up pictures of them, you've got to be really kind of have a lot of discretion in that, because you and your friend could know that what you're putting up a picture of, for instance, that idea that you're holding a drink, it's actually not alcohol, but someone looking at it could think that you've been, you know, drinking all night or whatever. So you kind of have to look out for your friends as well as yourself and be respectful in what you post about other people.
Absolutely. And pictures, you know, can be so misinterpreted. I remember we had a dress up party with a bunch of friends. It was a casino night. I actually won all the chips, and in front of me just happened to be a couple of glasses of wine, and someone took a photo, and I said, listen, I really don't want that on Facebook, because if someone didn't know me or even someone just knew me slightly, it would look like I was at the casino because we were all dressed up, but we weren't. And, you know, people can so easily misinterpret something, and yet they've got to be careful. And it's hard, because at parties, and then they tag each other and then they show up on each other's Facebooks. So the other thing that they've got to recognize, it is a long-term impact. There is a record of those photos forever. And one thing, as in my, I'm a careers advisor in my day job, that students need to understand is that employers now look at their Facebook, they look on their Instagram, they look on their Twitter accounts, and they have a look what sort of person they are. And you can not even get in your foot in the door and you can be judged based on those things. So they are important of how they present themselves.
Yeah. So much to talk about this idea of being wrongly accused. That actually, we've gone through that quite quickly. That's all we have time for tonight, Wendy. But I think we should continue this next week. We'll talk about wrongly accused part two. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Laura.